compassion. What is it that moves you to compassion? Is it that ASPCA commercial of Betsy shivering in her kennel? Is it the look of terror you see on that little boy's face when he turns around and he sees that his mother is nowhere in sight? Is it that cancer patient in your life? Is it that life that was ended far too early? But what about Jesus? What moves Jesus to have compassion on the crowd? What is it about the words, "They were like sheep without a shepherd," that demands Jesus' compassion? That's what we're going to be exploring in this sermon. But before we go there, I need to give you a little bit of background. Earlier in our text, Jesus had said, he had told his disciples to come away to a secluded place with him. A place so secluded that it was uninhabited. So you might be thinking to yourself, why would Jesus go to a place where he can do zero ministry work? Well, his disciples had been doing so much ministry work that they'd been habitually not eating. And on top of that, Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, had just been beheaded. So Jesus calls the disciples away to a secluded place for some well-deserved R&R. But the crowd had another idea. The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Like sheep without a shepherd. That's a really pregnant phrase, and what I mean by that is there's a bunch of pictures and stories behind it. The prophet Jeremiah in our Old Testament reading, he got the ball rolling, but he doesn't use the exact phrase. But there are three Old Testament prophets who all use that exact phrase. The first one is Moses. He's explaining why it's absolutely necessary for him to have a successor. He knows he's about to die, and he explains, "Otherwise the people will be like sheep without a shepherd." The next prophet to use it is Micaiah. And we don't hear about him very often, but he lives during the time of Ahab. And Ahab is a wicked king. He married a pagan woman, Jezebel, and she brought her false god, Baal. And now Ahab worships Baal, and all of Israel worships Baal. But Ahab's got a problem. The Arameans have taken over one of his cities, and they still have it. So the visiting king, his fellow kingdom of Judah, the king is visiting him, and he says, "You know, will you come help me take over, take my city back?" And the king says, "Sure, but I want you to inquire of the Lord first." So Ahab's like, "Okay, I'll do it." So he sends word to Micaiah, and these messengers say, "Micaiah, we're all saying that we're gonna win. Just say the same thing." And Micaiah says, I can only say what the Lord's told me to say." So he comes before Ahab, and Ahab says, "Micaiah, what's the outcome of the battle gonna be?" And he says, "You're gonna win." And this is when it gets ironic. That's exactly what Ahab wanted to hear. But this is what Ahab says. "Micaiah, how many times do I have to tell you to tell me nothing but the truth?" And then Micaiah prophesies this. "I saw all Israel on the mountains scattered like sheep without a shepherd." Finally, we get to Ezekiel. He gives us such a thorough depiction that it's painful to read. But I really want you to get this, because the more you get this phrase, the more you will see Jesus' compassion. So I'm going to read 6 verses for you, and I really want you to picture this in your mind's eye. I really want you to get this. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, Thus says the Lord God, Woe, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly, you have not strengthened. The diseased, you have not healed. The broken, you have not bound up. The scattered, you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity, you have dominated them. They were scattered like sheep without a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. Sheep without a shepherd. The problem isn't that these sheep are wandering around aimlessly. The problem is there's nobody to care for the sheep. There's no one to bind up their broken leg. There's no one to give them medicine. And instead, they're scattered and dominated. They're even withheld their most basic need, food. And instead, they become food. Sheep without a shepherd either starve or are devoured. And this is what Jesus was seeing when he's looking out over the crowd. He sees sheep in the fangs of wolves about to be devoured. He sees sheep about to be mauled by bears. He sees sheep with broken necks laying paralyzed on the ground. He sees sheep that are destined for death. He sees sheep that he would not and could not ignore because he's the great shepherd of the sheep that Jeremiah prophesied about in our Old Testament. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. I will also raise up shepherds over them, and they will tend them, and they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. You see, Jesus was going to make it all right again. Jesus is in the midst of fulfilling these words from Jeremiah. And he sees the people being devoured by the Pharisees and by the idols of their heart, and he knows how that ends. He'd been begging his Father in heaven to let him come down and make things right again, and now here he is in the midst of these hopeless sheep, and the images of the prophets flood his mind. And so he has compassion on them. And his compassion comes in the form of teaching them many things. You see, he had to show them that the Pharisees had neglected them. They'd modeled works righteousness, and that left them hopeless. The Romans had dominated and scattered them, and they could devour them at will. But Jesus would feed them. He didn't care how twisted his stomach was with hunger, because he saw their emaciated souls. He saw their souls in the midst of being spiritually devoured. And so he didn't give up, even though he was hungry, even though he had sorrow from his cousin just being beheaded. He gave up his whole day to teach them. But he gave up a lot more than just a day. And the epistle lesson makes that clear. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The author of Hebrews name drops Jesus as the great shepherd of the sheep. But why is he the great shepherd of the sheep? Because he lays down his life so that the one about to be devoured is saved. But the worthless shepherds didn't give up very easy, did they? They still wanted to devour those sheep. They said Jesus was a fake even after he rose from the dead. And all they had to do to prove it was produce Jesus' dead body. But they didn't even go after his disciples to torture them, because there is no body to be found. Jesus was too busy having compassion on his disciples. He was teaching them patiently on the road to Emmaus. He was getting them ready for his ascension. He was giving them a gospel promise when he gave them the Great Commission. Surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And he does the exact same thing for you and me. He comes to us alive in his word. Do you know what he did for each and every one of you? He went searching for you when you had a millstone around your neck and you were in the bottom of the ocean, dead. And then he brought you back up and he sealed you through your baptism. He went searching for you when your lust drove you up a mountain. He healed you when your envy left you sick. He strengthened you when your greed left you weak. And he comforts you when your fear has paralyzed you. He saved us from our self-depriving ways when we used to starve ourselves, when we despised our shepherds, when we let pride be Satan's spiritual assassin, when we said things like, "That's just pastor's opinion." There he goes again. You know, pastor's just got to say that bit about living together before marriage, but it's fine. Instead of watching as we're devoured, Jesus stuck his body into the jaws of death. But death couldn't keep him down. So what drove Jesus to have compassion on the crowd? It was his grace that saw their deadly state. It was his love for those he had created. He did it to take the terror out of your life, so that you wouldn't be food anymore, but fed. The great shepherd of the sheep, he laid down his life so he could make things right again, so he could put you in his fold, so that he could be your shepherd and show you even more compassion. And how does he show us that compassion? He does it through his word and through his shepherds that he's raised up who speak on his behalf. Let us listen to our great shepherd until we get to see him in the flesh. Amen.